greatest and best of the sons of the morning. Dawn on our darkest and lend us your aid. Star of the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer is laid.
God on his cradle, the dewdrops are shining, lullabies his head with the peace of the storm.
Thank you very much, Janet, and welcome to everybody here this morning. It's a great pleasure to be here to lead the worship. At certain times of the church's year, things move fairly slowly liturgically, but today we find ourselves with three things to fit into the service. The first is that it was the Feast of the Epiphany last Tuesday when we marked the coming of the wise men to visit the baby Jesus. That was foretold in the song we've already heard, Brightest and Best of the Sons of the Morning. There is the baptism of Jesus, which is the reading set for today. And then I also discovered that the first Sunday after Epiphany is also traditionally Plough Sunday. So we'll have a bit about that too. Going back to the Feast of the Epiphany, Luke's Gospel tells of the shepherds who were Jewish, shepherds being shepherds of low status, to worship the baby Jesus. But Matthew tells of the revelation, the epiphany, the appearance of Jesus to the Gentile wise men who came from the east to pay homage to the baby Jesus. And the fact that they were Gentiles coming from a foreign country tells us that Jesus came not just for the Jews, but also for the whole world. And Matthew's gospel describes it as follows. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who is born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." They listened to Herod, and then they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we have now a song, Riding Out Across the Desert. It may not be totally familiar, so you could sit and enjoy the first verse and chorus, but then we expect you to stand and join in the second verse and chorus.
Riding out across the desert, traveling over sandy plains, comes a company of wise men moving steadily along their way, leaving all their friends behind them, guided by the star so bright. Now they've got to keep on going, don't let the star get out of sight. Riding through the desert, gently the wise men go, onwards to the king who was promised long ago. But they don't know where they're going to find him. There's many towns to search, so they'll keep on following the star, for it will lead them to his place of birth. Wise men on the desert journey traveled many miles so far. Now they're getting tired and weary, town of Bethlehem is not too far. How they long to worship royal gifts, hearts are full of joy and wonder as they're searching for the newborn king. Riding through the desert, gently the wise men go, onwards to the king who was promised long ago. There's many towns to search, so they'll keep on following the star, for it will lead them to his place of birth.
Well done. And of course the wise men came and brought their gifts. It has occurred to me, what did Mary and Joseph do with those gifts? You could just see them after the wise men left saying to each other, "They're very nice, but what are we going to do with them?" But on the other hand, somebody pointed out that as they then went off into exile in Egypt, the gold in particular may have been very useful at giving them something to live off. So I leave you with the thought, what happened next to the gifts? Let us say a prayer. Dear God, we come here to worship, to praise you, to focus our thoughts on you. We give thanks for the good things of recent weeks, the celebration of Christmas, good food, friendship and families, the holidays, and the start of the new school year term. We give thanks for this church and for each other, remembering those who are unable to be here because of age or the weather or other responsibilities. We remember those who are ill and those who are lonely. We come with ourselves, but also with our gifts, our money, our time, our skills, as did the shepherds and the wise men. We come with our concerns and worries. We confess the times when we have fallen short. We regret the times when we have been selfish or bad-tempered or unkind, unhelpful to others, or when we have failed to speak out for what is right. As we meet together, we ask that we may hear what you are saying to us, that we may support and encourage each other, and that we may leave wiser and better equipped to face the week ahead. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn was written by James Montgomery, who was a newspaper publisher in Sheffield at the beginning of the 19th century. And he was a man with a great concern for justice. And the words are a paraphrase of Psalm 72, which happens to be set for the Feast of the Epiphany. It's a prophecy of a just and compassionate king, with verses like, "He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight." And as we sing this hymn, we pray for the need for justice and equity in the world today. Hymn number 228, "Hail to the Lord's Anointed."
Time appointed, his reign on earth begun.
His name shall chant forever, His changeless name of love.
We now fast forward some 30 years, what are known as the hidden years, about which we don't know very much, from Epiphany to the baptism of Jesus as a grown man. And we're going to hear now the reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3.
So it's Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased."
The River Jordan is a nice river, but it's not a great river. It's more like the River Windrush than the River Thames, but it's perfectly good for the baptism of Jesus. He doesn't require an ornate font or a fancy pool, and it's a very ordinary action, a very physical action, immersing oneself in water, just as one might in a bath or as children might for pleasure, playing in water. Archbishop William Temple described Christianity as the most avowedly materialistic of all the great religions. Our sacraments use real day-to-day things like water, bread, wine, and oil. And the beloved Son immerses himself at his baptism in our world, which, though it may be muddy and murky like the River Jordan, or indeed the River Windrush, still retains its connection with its Maker. And this is the point in the Gospels where Jesus' particular work starts. At this particular time, he gives himself to the work that he has to do. And in choosing baptism, John says, "Well, do you really need me to be doing this to you?" Jesus is aligning himself fully with humanity, not just in spirit, but in body too. He steps into the muddy waters, shoulder to shoulder with ordinary people in all their struggle and longing. This is what righteousness looks like. Not superiority or separateness, but connection. And then something special happens. The heavens open, the Spirit descends as a dove, and a voice speaks, "This is my child, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Before Jesus has preached a sermon, healed a soul, or called a disciple, he is named Beloved, not because of what he has done, but because of who he is. When parents bring a baby to be baptized, they are offering them as a gift to God. When an adult comes to be baptized, they are giving themselves to God just as they are. We live in a world which constantly demands proof of our worth, performance, productivity, perfection. But here at the river, we see that our belovedness is not earned. We are loved for what we are. It is spoken over us by a God who meets us as we are and calls us into transformation, rooted in his grace. Our spiritual path begins not with self-improvement, but with believing that we are loved and giving ourselves to that love. Of course, having passed through this particular occasion, Jesus doesn't stay at the river. His baptism launches him into a ministry of a compassion, of truth-telling, of boundary-breaking love. And so too, our commitment sends us out. We reminded ourselves last Sunday at the covenant service when we made a renewal of our commitment, a giving again of ourselves, of our lives to God, with those earth-shattering words, "I am no longer my own, but yours. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal." And the hymn that we are now going to sing in verse 3 speaks about that dedication. When Jesus came to Jordan. So, we've had Epiphany, we've had the baptism of Jesus, and we come now to Plough Sunday. historically the first Sunday after Epiphany, and supposedly the start of the farming year. When celebrated in its original form, the village prow would have been brought to the church to be blessed for the work before the work of the year began, and the farming community committed itself to working with God's creation to raise crops and animals to sustain everyone through another year. Now, of course, even in rural communities, our lives are far removed from the land. I couldn't lay my hands on a 6-furrow reversible plough to save my life, and it wouldn't have fitted through the doors anyway. The rhythm of the life has changed, and we associate our food much more with Sainsbury's and Waitrose than with those who actually grew it. And of course, life has become more complicated, and we need many more skills and resources to sustain our daily lives. But Plough Sunday is still a good time to be reminded of the range of gifts and skills that we all bring and need for our daily life, and also to remember the particular gifts and talents that we bring to sustaining the life of the church. In this particular church, many good things happen, perhaps more than we often realise. There is the coffee bar and community meals, bringing refreshment, warmth and human contact to people who pass by. Our premises host organisations such as the Whitney Food Revolution, Volunteer Link Up, U3A, Christians Against Poverty, Home Start, and many, many other organisations. Of course, the Old Testament walk through the Bible happened in this very place yesterday and was well attended. A discipleship course will be starting soon. Alpha changes the lives of many of those who have taken part. Experience for Schools brings the Christian story to hundreds of local school children. Worship and music groups enrich our worship, and music happens here at other times with the Whitney Music Society and the Whitney Town Band rehearsing here. And friendship and caring takes place in all sorts of ways, seen and unseen, on these premises. I thought, as symbolic gifts on this Plough Sunday and the Feast of Epiphany, I would ask 2 wise men and 1 wise woman to bring forward gifts that represent the skills and resources that support the work of the church, and if they would like to declare themselves now. We have Guy with a hymn book, a music book, representing the work of the music group, and some tools representing the work of Man Friday. We have Roy with, I will take the whole tray, I think, with a mug representing the work of the coffee bar and three biscuits as well. And a copy of the notice sheet representing all the administration and all the other activities that happen here. And we have Jane, who brings a sample representing the work of Dorcas. Jane is also involved in the flower arrangements, and her offering in that sense is here already. And of course, also at the back and coming in by other unmarked ways are our gifts of money, which make so much else possible. And so let us say a prayer of dedication over these things. Dear God, we give thanks for all the various talents, all the time that is given to the running of this place in your name. We thank you for the skills, for the gifts, for the abilities that make this possible, the organisation that is involved there. And we thank you for all the people who come onto our premises, and we ask that they may experience that love which we represent, that they may find here peace, calm, reassurance, and new strength to face the challenges of the daily life. We ask all these things in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. As Jason moves on in a couple of weeks' time and we have an interregnum with him out a minister of our own, as it were, for at least 8 months, we will very much need to be aware of the particular talents and abilities that we have. We'll need to support and encourage each other, working together to ensure that things run smoothly. It is our responsibility, yours and mine, to welcome the newcomers, to build each other up spiritually and in our daily lives, to support each other through times of difficulty, and to maintain our life of worship, prayer and witness with God's help and guidance. So, as the wise men brought their homage and valuable gifts, the farmers brought their ploughs to be dedicated, as Jesus committed himself with John the Baptist in the River Jordan, we commit ourselves to the life, the witness through the life of this church. And we join together in a Bernadette Farrell hymn of dedication, number 706, Longing for Light.
Amen.
Part of our response, without which no service would be complete, are our prayers of intercession, which are being led today by Val.
Let's pray. God our Father, grant us the help of your Spirit in our prayers for the salvation of all people. We pray for the Church throughout the world, for the Methodist Church in Great Britain, for our district and circuit, for High Street and all its members, that in faith and unity we may be constantly renewed by your Holy Spirit for mission and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the peoples of the world and for leaders of nations, especially for the leaders of NATO countries, the leaders of the Coalition of the Willing, and leaders in the United States of America, that they may seek justice, freedom and peace for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our country, for those who have authority and influence, for our government, for our members of parliament, for our local councillors, that all may serve those they represent in wisdom, honesty, and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those among whom we live and work, for all our neighbours, for colleagues, friends, and family, that we may so use your gifts that together we may find joy in your creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all in sorrow, need, anxiety, or sickness, for those recently bereaved, for those who find themselves in hospital, especially including our friend Jude Levermore, for those struggling to recover from trauma or injury, be it physical or mental, that in their weakness they may know your strength and in despair find hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
In you, Father, we are one family, on earth and in heaven. We remember in your presence those who have died recently. In particular, Fraser Logue's mother, whose funeral is in Scotland this week. Mary Bradley's father, David Burton, who died last weekend. Elizabeth Warner, whose funeral will be held here tomorrow. And we give thanks especially for all those who have revealed to us your grace in Christ. Help us to follow the example of your saints in light and bring us with them to the fullness of your eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And so we close our worship today with Wesley's great hymn of commitment and dedication, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord, I Go.
Closely walk with thee too.
grateful thanks to all who have contributed to this morning's service, and thank you all for sharing in the worship. It continues now in the work in the prayer corner and in the coffee bar. But we now say a blessing. Almighty God, your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. May we, your people, shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. And we join together in saying the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.